Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
You put the roofie in the pudding pot.
Seventh sound.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vincent. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, everybody.
Nothing you're about to hear is true. Ah, it's good to be back. Back in the saddle.
It seems like it's been a while.
It does. I thought about that as I was listening to the fine show that you guys recorded.
Like,
wow, I'll be back. And it seems like I've been gone for a long time. It's only been 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like when before we started doing this, you and I would talk like every couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, now like a week goes by and we're like forlorn leaning against the glass as it's raining outside.
Yeah. There's some sad song playing.
A little Michelle McLaughlin, you know.
or Dido. The tea's gone cold. I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. Oh, yeah. So here I am. I'm back. And second day of work today.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered, and you and I haven't talked since I figured this out. It was, I believe, Thursday before I left, which was a work from home day. Maybe it was a driving home from work on Wednesday. So maybe we have talked. I'm not sure. But anyway, I figured out I was going about this work thing all wrong.
Okay.
I have realized that I will be much happier if I stop letting things get to me. Clearly, driving an hour and a half each way is not something I'm wanting to do long term. But getting there after driving an hour and a half and having things just be stupid was getting to me. And I decided, Hey, pays the same whether I'm marching or shooting. I'd prefer to be shooting, but, you know, I can march. And so that's what I'm doing. And 2 days in, feeling pretty good. Plenty of stupid shit happening. But I'm just kind of sitting back and going, hey, I'm just going to keep hammering these checks. And that, my friend, is what's going to go on my next business card. Pays the same whether I'm marching or shooting. As long as your check's clear, I'll keep marching.
That's a lot. Put that on the backside.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that was my website, .com.
//shooting.
Shooting, marching. Don't make me know, never mind. But anyway, speaking of last week's show, Nice job. Nice
Thanks.
Job, man.
It was a trifle unnerving, but I got into it there after a little while. I'm the guy that's got to do all the talking now, so.
Well, the nerves didn't show at all.
Well, that was take two.
Oh, okay. I want to hear the outtakes.
Yeah, talk to Superfan James. I'm like, wait, I hate this part. Ugh. I'm like I'm getting ready to go out and box. I'm like, let's do this. It was a bit of a role reversal. But it was
Burgess
fun.
Meredith is in the back going, come on, Paul.
That's right. I'm like, cut me, James, cut me.
Remember your training, Paul. Paulie. He'd call you Paulie.
Yeah,
remember your training, Paulie. Is this why you know, this would be Rocky III after Apollo Creed died.
Right.
Which would be me. I'd be, Steve didn't die for nothing. You get out there and do this one for Steve, Paulie. Wait, did he die in Rocky? He died in Rocky II, didn't he?
Yeah, he died in II.
Because Clubber Lang pushed him or something?
Mm-hmm.
I pity this old fool. So some American of African persuasion would push me against a wall and go, I pity this fool. And then I'd die. And then then some other American of African persuasion would train you up to fight the other American of Africa. Fuck it. Some black dude would push me against the wall. And then you would fight another black dude. Wait a minute. Let's not make it exactly like Rocky. Okay.
As long as we keep Adrian, I'm good.
This is the part in the show where people are like, man, Steve is rusty.
Yeah.
He's like all over the place. I did want to point out, though, that we either have to have Uncle Carl and Superfan James back on the show frequently or never again. Because if we don't do one of those two things, they're going to end up replacing me because they were that good.
Yeah, Carl, like you said earlier when we were talking, Carl was surprisingly at ease. I mean, you know, he just kind of, you know, like he'd done it before. Well, he has.
Technically. In my never-ending quest to make it about me, I was listening and thinking, wow, this would be the first time I've ever heard Carl have a conversation when I wasn't in the room. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have conversations when I'm not in the room. I'm saying I haven't heard them.
Right.
Because as far as he knows, I have not recorded him
as
having
far
conversations.
As far as he knows.
As far as he knows. And I thought, do I make him nervous? Like when I'm in the room, do I make him nervous? Or does he hate me that much that he can't be himself? And then I remembered, no, I've heard Carl have conversations like this before.
Oh, yeah.
It's just that when I see him now, it's like the first time I've seen him in decades. And we're probably both kind of like not relaxed because we're like, I hope he still loves me.
That never really occurred to me. I'm like, I know all you people, and we talk all the time, all of us, never at the same time, though.
So true.
It is kind of weird, you know. It's kind of fun and kind of weird at the same time.
Yeah. So he was great talking about his perspective on comics, and you know, I never knew Iron Man was his favorite superhero.
Yeah. Oh God, yes. Yeah. All
and
the way back.
And his description of how he feels about Iron Man now being a young black woman was excellent, you know, because if you try to judge someone just on what they post on Facebook, you cannot be any more than 99% accurate. And so that other 1% is like Carl pointing out, I have no problem with the young black woman. Mm-hmm. I just don't want her to replace Tony Stark, and I want it to be some separate thing so that there's still a Tony Stark. And I was just like, wow, that is a great explanation, because usually I think of, you know, people will go, oh, a young black woman, oh, great, can't be a white man anymore. Nobody can be a white man. And I always think of it in terms of the black and white political ramifications, which, you know, his perspective and yours as well, I assume, is like, nah, comics are always like whatever the topic of the day is, they're always addressing it head on.
And yeah,
that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it to be interesting, get readers. And hey, his only beef would be he doesn't want to get rid of the old guy.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so, as I assured him, they didn't. And it's only a matter of time before he's back.
Yeah. What's like when they replaced Steven or whatever his name was in Bewitched? Like, no explanation, no nothing. You just go, well, come on.
But could you imagine? But could you imagine if they replaced him with, like, a young black woman? I probably might have watched the show a little more.
Or if Cousin Arnold had been a 19-year-old black girl.
Oh, that would have been hysterical if Cousin Arnold would have been black.
What you talking about?
Was there ever a black person on Brady Bunch?
Ooh. Oh. Hmm. Wait, I was talking about Bewitched.
Cousin Arnold
was on with Brady Bunch?
Yeah. That was Cousin Oliver.
Oliver.
Which one was Cousin Arnold? Yeah. Cousin Oliver was on Brady Bunch.
I think I made up Cousin Arnold.
Okay, well, imagine
Cousin
if there
Arnold was the young black girl on Sanford and Son. So anyway, the other thing I found interesting was, see, my thinking always goes to a certain pattern, which was when you guys complain about comic books, I always assume it's because, you know, they sold out and went all mainstream and Hollywood and blah, blah, blah. When really it sounds like that's not it. It's if you have a beef with them, it's they got too expensive and this storylines sometimes don't make sense.
That's pretty much it, yes.
Yeah. So that was very insightful. I would invite anyone who missed it to go back and listen. And I mean, the comic book culture, whether or not Disney and Universal, is it?
Warner Brothers pretty much owns DC.
Whether or not they care about their comic book franchises, that culture is driving popular culture right now. So
it is both a glorious time. It's the best of times and the worst of times. You know.
Ooh, that's good. Write that down.
I'll write that. Yeah, because that'd be a good opening for a book, wouldn't it?
It would, man. You should write that down.
But no, it seriously is. It's like, it's great that I managed to live long enough to see this happen, but it's also a curse at the same time. So, yeah.
You always drive in reverse?
Yes.
Speaking of popular culture, the other one that was great was SFJ, Superfan James, our new tech correspondent.
That's right.
Hey, we haven't announced that yet.
Yes. Well, go ahead and announce it.
I will. We haven't even told him yet.
Yeah, this will be he gets to hear it too. So,
and it'll be awkward. It'll be like one of those jumbo cam wedding proposals if he says no. But we have decided that one of the things the show is missing is a tech correspondent. Mm-hmm. So, in the spirit of connecting with the youths of the day, and connecting with the idea that he'll replace me if we don't have him on more often. we're going to have James, Mr. Superfan James, or SF James, as I like to call him. He'll be our new tech correspondent. We'll have a regular segment on, we'll do it two ways. We'll have regular segments. And when something happens that's tech related, we can have him on to explain it to us.
That would be great, because I don't understand half the stuff that happens anymore.
Well, apparently, I understand more than he would have expected.
Even though you're old and all.
And being that I'm old, I know more about the computers than he would have expected. I'm interested to hear more about that. I'm like, I want to hear both sides of that. First, I want to hear what the hell would you have expected
yeah,
and why.
Right?
And then I want to hear what indicated to you that I know more than whatever that baseline was.
Maybe he just assumes anybody over 30 doesn't know anything about computers or interweb. You
know. Look, man, we lived through the invention of the internet. Our vice president invented the internet.
That is correct.
Oh, so back off, Jack.
That's right.
No, I'm kidding. No, he was adorable. I think that his description of Pokemon Go was fan-frickin-tastic.
Yeah.
And I told him as much, and he said that he, of course, being the demure, humble tech correspondent that he is, said that it was all because you asked the right questions.
So, that was probably the most interviewiest interview I ever gave. Because usually, you know, like I told Officer Nick, who I'm hoping to interview this coming weekend, we just chat. There is no interview. But I'm like, well, I'll do a pointed, because, I mean, Pokemon Go is getting so much shit from people who are probably only over 30. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let's lay it on the line. Let's make it a little more interviewee. So it's the most interviewee interview I ever interviewed.
Yeah, and the way that he was able to put it in a way that, like, your best, you said, in case my mom's listening, we used to say, explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Instead of that, it's like, explain it to me like I'm a 75-year-old.
Yeah, because a 5-year-old would get it.
Yeah. In case my mom's listening. And then it really got me to thinking about not just Pokemon Go, but Pokemon Go, like, in 2 weeks became the next big thing.
Literally overnight, it seems.
Yeah.
Seems
well,
literally.
You can't say it.
I was just doing. It
you
seems
said literally,
literally.
And then you
okay.
said.
Okay. It well. Seems. All right. Can, scratch that.
I literally. Mind. That literally made my head explode. It seems.
Virtually.
Anyway.
Virtually. Exploded
I like
overnight.
The double entendre there. Mm. Virtually.
I like a single entendre.
So I thought about, well, what is it It, well, first of all, the next big thing is something you haven't thought of yet, but somebody has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The next big thing will happen, and it will be the next big thing so fast, you'll be like, what the fuck? You know, and then at the same time, a million people already knew about it.
Right.
Just the way, because you go, well, how can something that was just introduced get so big so fast? And he explained it. He's like, well, there were millions of people waiting for it, and they mm-hmm. released it early because everybody was waiting for it.
Okay, well.
So.
On that rationale.
Yep.
Next big thing. Mm-hmm. Porn your man go.
Porn your man
you go. Out, you're sitting out at the park. Your kid's like on the slide. Look at me, Dad. Look at me, Dad. Like a million times. You're like, uh-huh. And you got your phone and you're watching like two cartoon characters like have sex in the bushes. And they have no idea it's happening. Is that already a thing?
No, it's the part where the kids were involved. I gotta.
Kids aren't involved with the kids aren't involved with the cartoon characters. You're like bored. I'm just saying you're bored watching your kid on the slide. And you're
how about this? Oh, okay. How about this? You're sitting at the bar, all right? Mm. And so far you haven't had any luck with the ladies.
That's almost right? Every night at the bar.
So you order another beer. In the meantime, you're holding your phone up and you see this girl you like and you kind of hold the phone toward her and now she's having sex with a cartoon character.
Can you pick the cartoon character?
Yeah. That's the whole idea.
Okay.
But you got to capture one. I mean, you got to run around, walk into churches and stuff to capture them.
You're walking into church. What are you doing? I'm playing Porn Your Man Go. Hang on.
Porn Your Man Go. I think that's a good name. Another one that we could maybe focus group to see if they like it. So you got your Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
Now you need a Pokemon Come.
What was it Red Fox said? You watch one of them Swedish movies backwards, you see a man going.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know if he's coming or going. The things are happening incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. And you know what? And the reason I sent you the thing I did today about instead of a drug front, I'm going to have a Pokemon Go front. It's going to be like it's going to be selling sheet metal screws less than half an inch long. And people will be like, how could you have a whole business around sheet metal screws less than half an inch long? That must be a Pokemon Go front. He just does that. He just has a business so people come in there with their Pokemon Go. It's probably a Pokemon gym or something.
We're legitimate businessmen.
That's right. Legitimate businessmen. We make all our money on advertising. It's like, it's like the South Park. It's like collect underpants. And then step two, we don't remember. Step three is make profit. So you open a Pokemon Go front. Step one. Step two, I don't remember. Step three, collect profit. The thinking though along those lines is whenever anything new is created and it seems like a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not a fad, mm-hmm. somebody will make money off of it. It's just clearly a matter of figuring out how. And somebody besides Nintendo, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like these businesses that, it was just like triggering all these thoughts in my head when he's like, oh yeah, there's, you know, like you were asking the question, are businesses putting signs in their window that say, hey, Pokemon Gym here, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Which I could totally see Nintendo or somebody selling them the right to do that and going, okay, here's four rare Pokemons for you to put in your bookstore, right?
Right.
Which would get you more traffic.
Right.
And the thing about this one that seems like more than a fad, this Pokemon Go thing, like more than just the latest obsession,
mm-hmm.
is it's doing something newish. Now, I'm sure somebody's done it before, but this one actually may have the legs to keep going, and it's combining the virtual with the physical.
Right, right.
It's not just about exercise when people say, hey, it's getting people up off their couch.
Yeah.
It's not just about exercise. It's about getting people to do something actually physical in the physical world.
Right.
Get him to go somewhere to do something or whatever. And that's always been kind of fringe.
Mm-hmm.
When he said everybody, he's like, everybody I know under the age of 30 is playing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking around and somebody under 30 is looking at their phone, they're playing Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and they haven't even got started yet. They released it early.
Right, right.
And the way Minecraft took off, mm-hmm. and the way Minecraft became the entire internet.
Right.
This thing, I got to figure out how to make money off of this. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to play it.
I just want to make money off of it.
I just want to make money off it.
That's right.
Let the kids play it. Old folks make money off of it. Anyway, so that, so I think there's a broader context there, which is it's more than just Pokemon Go. It's things are happening so fast now that, like I said, the next big thing just happens that fast.
It's literally, and I believe I can use that in this context.
It seems.
It is literally the next big thing. Whatever comes along will be the next big thing, and it's not going to take that long for it to be the next big thing. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about when I was talking to him, I'm like, you know, yeah, this has probably been going on for a couple of months, and I just didn't know about it. And he's like, no, 4 weeks. And I'm like,
yeah,
Jesus Louise. I mean, for you know, and it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, usually it takes like a couple of years for my parents to find out a fad happened.
Yeah.
My parents know about Pokemon Go.
Wow. That's
and that's I'm not sure just because they listened to last week's show.
Right.
I'm assuming
that
they
do. Superfan James explained it in such a way that I can understand. So nice.
He's such a good boy.
Let's have him over for vegetable pizza.
That's a, he can cut the grass. And while he's out there, he can look for Pokemon.
he can find as many Pokemon as he wants out there hunting for Pokemon.
Like Pokemon is a superhero. It's Pokemon. He's very slow.
They had to know when they named it that people would get it wrong.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
Those are the same, because people that get it wrong are the same people that say taco instead of taco in enchilada.
Taco. Taco bowl.
It's a taco bowl.
So the thing to do is to look for the next big thing. You know, I knew when I saw my first iPhone, not mine, when I saw an iPhone for the first time, which was roughly 10 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
I knew it was over. It was over. I knew every flip phone and every little Nokia little regular phone. I was like, they're done. This is it. This iPhone that I'm looking at, which was the first generation,
mm-hmm.
is how all phones are going to be.
Well, I looked
at that. I don't
know
how long it's going to take.
I looked at that from the cynical side. Because I went, the world does not need cell phones. We survived for, you know, a million years, however the hell long we've been around. We survived all that time without it. Mm-hmm. So in order to make them essential and irreplaceable, we're going to make them do everything. They went from being a phone that you would call like, dude, where you at? Where you at? To everything. Everything you could possibly ever do was put in this phone to make them valuable, to make them wantable and irreplaceable.
Yeah.
So I looked at it from a cynical point of view, you know.
I don't think that's cynical. I think
practical. Maybe.
A lot of people have said, I haven't read the Steve Jobs autobiography yet, but, or not autobiography, biography. But I think there's something in there where it talks about how he invented stuff that we needed, but we didn't know we needed it. Think about, like, the ATM. We didn't need an ATM. Didn't need it. We survived however long without ATMs, right? Mm-hmm. But now, we couldn't live without them. It's like,
when ATMs popped up, those many years ago, I remember thinking, unless I'm buying crack, why do I need money at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
So.
Like now, why can't I just wait till the bank opens?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could take that all the way, but see, that I don't know, maybe this is too obscure, but you could take that all the way back to the wheel. It's like, why do we need a wheel? Oh, why do we need wheel? You know, we have slaves. We can just have slaves pull things, places. We can ride on the backs of our slaves. We have horses. Why do we need wheel? So I think, like, human progress is sort of that way. But the thing that made the iPhone different, mm-hmm. Is when it became clear, to your point, that it wasn't really a phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a device, which I don't know if we had been using that word yet, that could do a lot of the things that other things, like we needed four different things to do what this thing could do.
Yes.
Right. And it combined several ideas into one.
Yeah.
So it combined the, like, if I got to carry something around anyway, might as well have it be, you know, not only my thing that I keep my appointments in, but also something I can check my email on, mm-hmm. something, you know, that I can store pictures on and actually show people pictures. And, oh yeah, I can make a phone call on it too.
Right? Does anybody call anybody anymore, really?
Well, I actually get pissed off if I text somebody and then they call me back, it pisses me off.
Like, well, I duly noted.
Dude, I'm like, if I wanted to talk to you, I would have called you. The problem with phone calls is you got to go through. See, when you text somebody, you just get the, hey, meet me at 10 at the diner. It's like, oh, okay, meet you at 10. Or you could be like, hey, are you working on those reports? Hey, I was planning to. Okay, well, do something else so that you can finish that other thing that I said I was going to do. Okay, so you're going to do you're going to review the reports? Yeah. Okay, so that means I'll have to review the reports in the morning? Yeah. Okay. Now I didn't have to talk. I didn't have to ask how you're doing. I didn't have to, like, go through all the niceties, right? I didn't have to, how you doing? So what's going on? Everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. Hey, yeah. Did you do those reports? No, I plan to. It's like, no, just text. Be done. There.
Nice.
What was I talking about?
I saw what you did there.
So there's the phone.
Right.
The iPhone. And then this Pokemon Go thing. And I may be overplaying it or overthinking it. But it seems to me that something fundamentally different is happening. Because Minecraft was all about sitting in front of a computer, mm-hmm. sitting there with your smartphone or whatever, and doing this virtual world thing that really pulled people in. Mm-hmm. But that was it. That was the one dimension. Right.
Right.
You could play with other people, but it was still all virtual.
Right.
This Pokemon Go thing takes that to and combines it with another idea, like the scavenger hunt.
Right. Yes.
Who doesn't love a good scavenger hunt? And just kind of takes the technology and combines it. And right. Now you go, well, you could do a lot of things with that. It doesn't just have to be about Pokemon, right? We could sit here and brainstorm 500 other ways that you could use that kind of idea, mm-hmm. and that technology. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, on that note, maybe we should go to have a little break.
We'll be right back. We're going to go Pokemon hunting.
Thank you.
Today's events have you in an uproar. Don't panic. It's Steve and Paul to the rescue.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Steve Vincent's still here. Paul Schultz still there.
I'm still here.
And I'm still there. See what we did there?
That's all that.
All right. So as is no secret, last week I found an excuse to ride a bicycle and get drunk every day. And it's called RAGBRAI. And it's funny, it's called RAGBRAI. That's an acronym for the main newspaper in Des Moines, Iowa is called the Register.
Mm-hmm.
So the acronym is Register's Annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa.
Ah.
RAGBRAI. So you spelled it correctly when you sent me that note.
Whoop whoop.
And it's funny because for a while there, it hasn't happened lately, but we've done it 13 years, and for a few years in a row.
You've done it for 13 years?
Started 13 years ago.
I thought like 4 or 5, maybe. That's impressive.
Started 13 years ago. We've missed a few here and there, but for the most part, we've been doing it 13 years. A few years in a row, my lovely bride was having that time of the month during that week. And I was like, holy shit, man, every year you're putting the rag in RAGBRAI. She about lost it. I don't remember anything else that day, by the way. Can I steal Bill Cosby's jokes now that he's a pariah? You put the roofie in the pudding pot. Can I? Can I steal Bill Cosby's jokes now that he's a pariah?
You know what? With impunity.
All right, good. So anyway, RAGBRAI. So for the uninitiated, it's a ride on bicycles from the Missouri River to the Mississippi River in Iowa. It takes a different route every year. And there are about 15,000 to 20,000 people who take part. That does not count the other 5,000 to 10,000 people who are considered the support crews, which means what we do is we drive our car to Eastern Iowa, we get on a bus, throw all our shit in a trailer, drives across to Western Iowa, and then we get up, ride our bikes, and the support crew hauls our shit from one town to the next. And then we ride our bikes to the next town, we camp in somebody's yard, use their bathroom, drink their beer, then we get up the next day, do it all again. And along the way, there's little towns that you stop in along the way. And these little towns usually have a beer garden. The bars are open. So if you think, listen to me. If you think RAGBRAI is just an excuse to ride a bike and get drunk, well, mister, you are exactly right.
So RAGBRAI is essentially like, the same thing that like all the dudes on the motorcycles on like Labor Day and stuff do, except you guys actually get exercise.
Yeah, we get exercise.
You burn off you burn off the calories from all the beer, whereas the motorcycle guys just sit in the same position for like, you know, 1,000 miles.
It's true, and the police look the other way in the operating while intoxicated category. Even though I think technically it is illegal to operate, I'm not sure in Iowa if it's illegal to ride a bicycle after having been drinking. But anyway, nobody gets busted for it. So there are very few public. I mean, and the other thing is, you're right about the exercise, and there's a, you know, there's a camaraderie and a sense of community that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little trouble very little. And usually if there's, I've asked cops, like town cops, state cops, just in conversation, like, how are things going? And they're like, oh, a few locals. We had to, you know, we had a little trouble from a few locals, but that's about it. And I've never heard them say that they have any trouble with the riders, because everybody's just always respectful and, you know, very happy to be there. So on the ride out, and here's a, okay, so Iowa, a couple things you need to know about Iowa. One, it's not flat. I would,
I like the way you said that. It's not flat.
Two, the people are some of the friendliest people I've ever met. Hmm. And by friendly, I don't just mean, hey, buddy, let's be buddies, right, on the surface. I mean, they genuinely want to help. And the as we're riding the bus across the state, we had a blowout, which was funny, because we're riding along, and I just heard an explosion in the back of the bus. And I was like, damn, somebody passed out hard. But no, it was a blown tire. And we sat there like, oh, what are we going to do now? Well, it was like a dual, you know, it's a big old coach bus, like one of those giant buses. And so the one tire, it was one tire next to another tire, you know, like a dually kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we could probably get somewhere. We're going to have to call around, blah, blah, blah. So, hey, let's pull in that farmer's driveway while we're trying to figure this out. Get off the highway, getting some shade. Pulling the farmer's driveway.
The beginning of every horror movie ever.
Every time I tell this story, somebody gets it sooner. My mom, last time, it took until I talked about the, was it my mom or dad? One of them. It took until I described the farmer with his you know, grown sons walking out of the house, like, with a suspicious look on their face. And then my dad's like, sounds like a movie.
See, I was like on the fence. It was like either a horror movie or a porno.
It could be either.
I went with horror movie.
So we pull up into this driveway, and yeah, the farmer's walking out, and his two sons are with him, you know, and
you can do anything you want, just don't sleep with my sons.
We all get with my son. We get out, and the wife comes out, you know, and she's talking to us. And anyway, they tell him what happened, and he's like, oh, you blew a tire, huh? Well, pull it around by the barn. We got stuff. We could probably fix you up. So it's at this point that I'm starting to get suspicious, right?
So he pulls the bus. The barn way back there around the corner. Where
back there around by the smokehouse, you know. Back there by the smokehouse. Pay no mind to my boys playing banjo over there by the smokehouse. So he pulls the bus around by the barn. Dude has a fucking wheel and tire, a jack that jacks up semi trucks, impact wrenches. It's like the fucking Indy 500 crew came out if Indy 500 raced semis, right? And they come out, and his boys are jacking the thing up. His boys are taking the old one off, putting the new one on.
Pit crew going on.
While they're doing all that, and we're all standing around going, how in the hell, what are the chances of this? Out comes the cute daughter, right, with a short sundress, cute as a button, carrying cupcakes. She's like, would you like some cupcakes? I was like, shit, how long has she been out here? I turned to one of my buddies. I'm like, did you have a cupcake? He's like, no. I go, well, don't. Some of us have to not have the cupcakes. a few of us have to just stay away from the cupcake. So we're like trying to find out who did have cupcakes. All right, who had cupcakes? How are you feeling? Don't go to a second location with the farmer's daughter. Well, I mean, obviously we weren't turned into human barbecue, so everything worked out. But it was creepy. But that's just how they are. Like, everybody we tell the story in Iowa is like, oh yeah, that's how Iowa people are. So a couple of days later, so I rode my bike the next day, the day after that, then everybody else rode their bikes while I was like, fuck this, I'm riding the bus today. So rode the bus that day. But the bus went to get the tire fixed, and found out had a brake problem. So went over to the brake place in the small town. And we had to wait for the other bus that also had a brake problem. Some other bus had a brake problem. So we're sitting there for hours, dude. Hours. Like, we found a bar. And we're
that was my first question.
Yeah, that was our first question. Where's the bar? That way. All right, we'll be that way. So we sat there for a long enough time that the bartender was like really getting annoyed with us. Either getting annoyed with us or thought, wow, I haven't been this amused in a long time.
So right.
Went back to the brake shop and it's like, oh, it's still going to be a few more hours. We're like, God damn it. We're like, at this point, we're bored out of our mind. And my buddy Brad's like, hey, look, a tire. You think we could, how far you think you could throw that tire? I'm like, I don't know, probably farther than you, though.
He's like, were you drunk at this point? Hey,
oh, yeah.
How far do you think you could throw that tire?
We've definitely been drinking. Because there's beer on the bus, too. So even before we went to the bar, we're getting into the coolers on the bus. So he goes, damn, there's a car parked in the middle of the parking lot. Hang on. So he walks over there. There was somebody in the car. He's like, could you move, please? We're getting ready to have a tire throwing contest. He's like, oh, okay. So
he moves, the car. It happens over every day. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I got in the way. I'm sorry. I'm in the tire throwing zone.
I could post these videos online, but on our Facebook page. But I won by like 10 or 15 feet. I mean, I could chuck a tire, man. I should have thrown discus in college. That would have been,
or at least like tires
or shot put or tires. I did softball throwing in grade school. Mr. Stauffer was the track and field coach. Hey, that reminds me. By the time this comes out, the Olympics will have started. So there was that day. That was pretty fun. And then the final story I'll tell, and I can tell more next week, but this will get us through Tuesday. It was one of the worst starts to a day I've had in a long time in terms of Ragbri. So this bus is
not in general, just Ragbri.
Right. Oh no, it's like they say about fishing.
Because that would get us like clear to Tuesday of next year.
Yeah, that's right. It's like they say about fishing. A bad day on Ragbri is better than a good day at work.
Right.
So this
unless
bus,
that unless that involves dueling banjos and
in
the muffins.
Farmer's daughters with strap-ons. The bus is a 1991, which is relatively new on Ragbri standards. And we just got
it's
it
not
this
quite
year.
The chicken bus they use down in South America. It's
not quite. The previous bus was an old, like a 1971 school bus that we used up until last year. It was splitting down the middle. So it would have, you know, it would have taken a lot of work. So we got this, this new to us 1991 coach bus. Mm-hmm. And, it has a bathroom in it, which is like an RV bathroom. Mm-hmm. So, but in order to keep it from stinking and to keep us from having to go to an RV park to empty it, the guy who owns the bus, who bought the bus, said, no shitting in the toilet. Pee only. Don't put your toilet paper in there. Don't shit in the toilet. Right? Big deal. Made a big deal out of it. No shitting in the toilet.
Right.
Well, the first day I get in there and I'm like peeing. I'm like, wow, there's a big duke down there in the bottom of the toilet. And it did not look good. It was like kind of mushy, you know? And I went to the guy and I said, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But just in case there's a problem, somebody dropped a deuce in the toilet. And he's like, well, it's not that big a deal. It just means I got to hose it out and everything. And I go, well, I don't want to get again. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but we should probably find out who did it, because I think they might not be too healthy. It did not look good. It's for
I know
health.
My shit. I know this my shit did not look good.
It didn't look good. They might have a problem. they may need to add a little more, you know, fiber to their diet or something.
You know what I wonder is, like, what does that guy consider a big deal? anytime I gotta hose shit out of a toilet,
that's a big
kind
deal.
Of a big deal.
He's a pretty laid back guy.
Clearly, more laid back than I. So,
well, he kind of said it. He's like, well, I'm pretty laid back. He's like, my wife, on the other hand, we don't want her to find out. <It's> like, okay, you take care of it. So, the place where we stayed the night of the tire throwing, the homeowners. Usually the homeowners are like, hey, camp in the yard, come inside, use our bathroom, use our shower, use, you know, come on in the house and do what you need to do, right? This homeowner was a little sketchy on that. It's kind of like, well, I guess you can use the bathroom and, but not the shower. We have a shower on the bus, a rigged up shower thing on the side of the bus. It's like, okay, fine. And I don't want you in the house before 7:30. It's like, there were a lot of like, we were getting the vibe that she didn't really want us in the house too much. But I wake up the next morning and, you know, as our listeners have no doubt guessed, I waited just a little bit too long to unzip my tent and step out into the morning dew. And
Wait. Are you being metaphorical?
No. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
No. But... unzip my tent. Well, anyway, I was prairie dogging by that point. Turtle was poking his head out.
That's right.
There was the dam over Mud Creek was about to burst, and I was having an emergency situation. It was DEFCON 4 at this point, right? So I'm like, I saw somebody go in the house. Like, I'm going in the house. Go in the house. There's a line of four people at the toilet, right? Like, outside the bathroom. I'm like, shit. Oh, I don't want to shit my pants. And I think about telling everybody what an emergency this is and let me go to the front of the line. But then I thought, now suddenly I'm going to be shit boy, right? Because I'm like, it's just going to be all week long. I'm going to be nothing but shit boy. And I don't know how much longer the person that's in there is going to be. I don't know if I got that much time, right? So I got to think of alternatives here. So I'm like, go outside.
Did you check to see if they had like a big dog?
Fido, come here. Come here. You're going to pretend to shit. Right here.
When did my dog start eating peanuts? I don't know.
So I'm looking around.
And then it suspiciously looks like the deuce in the toilet and the bus. And the bus driver is like, I see.
I don't want to get my wife involved or anything, but if you just come clean. I was looking around for a spot, man. I was like, oh, there's got to be a spot.
You're like Kramer on the one episode of Seinfeld where he's running all over town trying to find a place to drop a deuce.
Then it occurs to me.
Anyway.
Then it occurs to me. I'm like, I would rather catch shit, pardon the pun, for shitting up the bus toilet than catch shit for shitting in my pants. And I'll hose the shit out. It's way easier than cleaning my fucking pants.
This is on me. I got this.
This is on me. I got this one. Okay. I'm the one that left a mud monkey down in the toilet. So I jump on the bus.
I'm not going to blame it on the next person.
I jump on the bus and I remember something occurs to me from a couple of years ago. A story I had heard from the old bus. The old bus had a 5-gallon bucket with a toilet seat on it for the women to pee. The men peed in a funnel in the front, and the funnel kind of funneled. It was a funnel attached to a hose, sort of like a beer bong, and it went out the side door. But the women had the
worst beer bong ever.
Yeah, right. The women had the 5-gallon bucket with the toilets. And somebody once told me the story of having to shit so bad, they grabbed a sack and put the sack over the 5-gallon bucket, sat down and shit in the sack. They told somebody and then got the nickname Shazak. Short for shit sack. So I was like,
Shazak.
So I get on the bus, and all I could think about is finding a sack. It's like, where's the goddamn sack? A minute ago, there was a sack here. I don't know where it's got it. So I'm going through the overhead bins. I'm like, here's a sack. I dump whatever shit was in it out. I'm like, at this point, I'm thinking I still might not make it. And there's somebody in there. I'm like, damn it. And Brad happens to be on the bus too. And he goes, dude, I'm next. I got to take a piss. I was like, dude, I'm about to shit my pants. I had a shit in this here sack. So the person comes out. I dart into the place. And then I realize as I'm undoing my pants, I don't really know the logistics of this. And I'm thinking, like from Austin Powers, when he goes, when he finds out that the big Scottish dude had sex with Foxy Brown, yes, or whatever her name was. He's like, how could you? And she's like, well, you and I were never. And he goes, no, not that. I mean, the mechanics are mind boggling. And I'm like, I was thinking that. I was like, I don't know how to do this. How do you shit in a sack? I've never shit in a sack before.
You're about to learn how.
I'm about to crash course, man. It's like
boot crash kick. Course.
Sink or swim, dude. And so I get the toilet seat open, get my pants down. I get the sack around behind me, and I'm like, I've never studied the trajectory of poop. Plus, not all poops are the same. Sometimes it just comes flying out. Sometimes it's a nice, like, you're dropping a bomb over Plastic City, you know?
Like some soft serve ice cream just kind of like swirls
sometimes,
out.
Sometimes it's like, sometimes it's like trying to hit a swimming pool from 30,000 feet with a soft serve ice cream, right? And then other times,
no diving, like no diving,
no diving. And then still other times, it's like you're, you know, there's a forest fire and you're dropping a big, you know, fire retardant over the entire forest, right? So I'm like, I got this sack back there just praying that I got my shit together, right? It's like, so I'm crouched. I'm not even sitting on the seat and I hear it hitting the sack and I'm like, thank God it's going in the sack. I don't feel it hitting my ankles. I'm like, this might take a minute. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I deserve this for making fun of dogs. Anytime you see a dog take a shit, it looks like they're fucking having an epileptic seizure. And they're all like, ooh. That was me. I'm crouched over. My knees are shaking. I finally get sat down in a way that I still got the sack. And I'm like, I hope none falls into the toilet because I will have gone through all this trouble and there will still be Duke in the bottom of this thing. And then about that time, there's a bang on the outside of the bus, like right next to the toilet. Like, hey, I told you I had to take a piss, you dick. I'm like, shut up, man. I was about to shit my pants. I'm shitting in a sack right now. He's like, you're shitting in a sack? He's like, how does that work? He's like, I barely know myself. Just shut up.
I'll explain it later.
He's like, don't you hate it when you're trying to drop a deuce and somebody in the next stall is talking to you? Like, yeah, so go away. So I finally get it done, and then I realize wiping is going to be an issue because if I let go of one side of the sack, it's gonna fall and spill Duke all over the place. So I have to stand up, put the bag of shit on the floor, and do my wiping. It was a mess, dude. It was a mess. It was crazy. So I double bagged it and snuck it out. I used the same technique I used to get beer out of a beer garden. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Have a decoy. Put the decoy in your dominant hand in case somebody sees you. And then the bag of shit's in the other hand. I'm carrying something interesting in my right hand. I got the bag of shit in my left hand in case anybody looks at me. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'm just holding this interesting thing in my right hand. And I made it all the way over to the trash. Thankfully, it wasn't full. I didn't have to balance it on top of like a full trash can.
Hope it doesn't fall open.
Yeah.
Like every time you have a bag of trash.
So that was the beginning of my day. Speaking of MP and Tolan, the Do It Indie Radio Hour is next. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Don't forget, nothing you just heard was true.
Except shitting in a sack.
Except the shit sack story. That was totally true.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
You say black,
I say white.
You say bar,
I say bite.
You say shark,
I say him. And Jaws was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars.
You say Rose,
I say Royce.
You say God,
give me a choice.
You say Lord,
I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
All I wanna do is fly.
Yeah.
Please,
income tax.
I said, Jesus, I don't want to.